Welcome to Pioneer, the podcast series for serious innovators, brought to you by Raise. Here, we talk to innovative entrepreneurs, CEOs, scientists, and policymakers about innovation.
Michael Ellis is the head of culture at Vinomofo, one of Australia's fastest growing companies and a leader in innovation, disruption and values-based company culture. An ex-family business owner, expedition leader, teacher, wine writer and a personal development coach, Michael is committed to helping companies bring out the best in people and generating outstanding customer experiences. Today I also have Rob Pierce with me. Rob is one of the main drivers in Raise Solutions and has a particular interest in organisations and the link between innovation and culture. Welcome, Rob. Great to have you on board.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Michael, tell us about Vinomofo and your role as head of culture.
Essentially, the model is we buy wine directly from great producers in Australia.
So you actually buy it. You're not just an agent. You actually buy the wine.
We buy the wine directly from producers. Yep. We store it in our warehouse here in Port Melbourne. And then we sell it directly to our members.
Okay.
People who've signed up to the site have access to all of those wines at some pretty competitive pricing. We've got 500,000 members, which means that our buying power is pretty significant. We can buy a lot of wine from a producer and sell it to customers who appreciate quality wine, and that's really part of our value proposition, is that we only buy wine and sell wine that we love, and it's good stuff.
So you must have some poor souls who have to go out and taste all this wine.
It's one of the tougher jobs. Our buyers are very much in and amongst the industry, so they know what they're looking for, and they know a great wine when they find it. Once it comes into Vinomofo, once it's on the site, it then becomes something that everybody in the company has the opportunity to experience and taste, because we're all involved in one way or another in selling that wine through various different means. Drinking and tasting, I should say. Yeah. The wine is a very important part.
So, do you have to be a wine lover to work here, or it's just a good add-on?
I think more than being a wine lover, I think what we stand for is what wine represents and it's that experience that it enables, whether it be sitting down over a nice meal and sharing a bottle of wine, or sharing a wine with a mate and having a great conversation. I think you've really got to appreciate and enjoy that. And I think that's why people are drawn, to the company as employees, because they are. And it's something that we celebrate and communicate. And it's very much part of our culture, is that love of wine.
Right.
There's not an expectation that you're an expert by any means. We do a lot of training and development and a lot of tasting. And I think, wine's one of those things, the more you understand it, the more you appreciate it. And it's, you just start digging deeper into those layers. And it's one of those things that, starts to, it's quite addictive in its charm when you start to really, dig deep into
As you're speaking, I'm thinking some of the ancient cultures very much had that philosophy, didn't they? The Romans and the Greeks, I think, were very much culture around wine and what it's the symbolism of wine. And
there's a lot of ways in which you can approach it. We like to look at the provenance of a wine, the stories behind it, who makes it, where it came from, what they're trying to achieve in expressing that, and at the same time just looking at the wine itself as a product. It facilitates some great experiences. And at the end of the day, it's fun. It's a good drink.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. So, there's a fascinating history of wine throughout the ages. It's very much embedded in ancient cultures, modern cultures. In here in Australia, it's it's becoming more part of how we celebrate, and you know, certainly part of our food culture as well. So yeah, it's a really exciting drink.
It's great to hear you say and talk about fun and the staff particularly having fun, and I can attest, having had a brief walk around at 10 o'clock this morning, you've got staff doing tastings.
Yeah.
You were recently awarded the most successful staff engagement award at the BRW Mid Business Awards. What is your approach to people, culture, and specifically innovation?
I think our approach to culture is very much defined by, and I think this would be the case for any company or any business, regardless of size. I think it's really important to identify what the DNA of that company is, and in this case it was very much defined by our founders, brothers-in-law Justin and Andre. And they wanted, in creating Vino Mofo, they wanted to create a business, a company, a place where they felt comfortable to, talk about wine, communicate about wine, sell wine in a way that was in alignment with their values, and fun, and just keeping it real, not getting too caught up in the technical details or the snobbery of wine, but let's just acknowledge it for what it is. Honour the product and where it came from, and the time and effort and passion that goes into producing it. But at the same time, let's enjoy it and let's have fun. And that was very much defined by that culture of fun was very much defined by them in the early days in terms of how they wanted to how they lived, and then how they translated that into how they ran the company. And it's something that's resonated with people in the company, and it's also something that I think that's really resonated with our customers as well, because it's attractive, and people want to be a part of something, or people want to be around others that are having fun.
And are the founders still involved in promoting that culture, or is that all now passed to you as head of culture?
I see it as my role to nurture that and to protect it and sort of help guide it as we grow. They're very much involved in the company at all levels, from a big picture strategic level to, today Andre's, this week he's working with our engineering team and he's working with them to understand the function of that team to help them. So the guys are very much involved in the company at all levels, and my role is to sort of take a bit of a big picture overview of what we're doing and how we're doing it, and making sure that it's aligned to our mission and to our values. And in both our mission and our values, to have fun is of primary importance, because I think you get the best out of people when you enable them, allow them to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, when they want to be at work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Michael, it's clear listening to you that the passion and the culture is really what's differentiating yourselves from other competitors that I can think of. And it would seem to me, if I was going to start a business, I wouldn't start one in this industry, because it's so competitive and there's so many players out there. So you have to be different, you have to be innovative to not only survive but phenomenal growth. So how have you achieved that? What's made you different within the culture and the innovation?
I think true innovation really comes from just, as I mentioned this before, knowing your DNA, knowing what it is you do and why you do it, what you do well, and going all in on that. I think if a company sets out to disrupt for the sake of disruption, the intention I think is good, but I think it's a short-lived proposition. I think what's been successful for Vino Mofo is that there was and still is a very conservative way of communicating about wine and the community of wine lovers and wine drinkers. Was that sort of older middle class man, and it was a very, very sort of exclusive club with its own unique language that I think a lot of people found it hard to access. or relate to. So in terms of innovation and disruption, all Vino Mofo has done really is go, well, we love wine, but that's not how we communicate. We love wine, but this is, we don't really relate to that community. So so let's just do what we do, and I'm sure there are other people who can relate to that. So the intention wasn't to, the intention was just to do what works. For us. And
so that's fascinating for me, because most people think innovation is technology. You know, I've got a machine, a gizmo, a pill or whatever that's going to change something. What I'm hearing is you've got a different business model. You've innovated the model, the communication around the model maybe, but that's the innovation. It's a business model. It's a business system that you've innovated.
Yeah, and you know, I think the way in which wine has been distributed from producers to consumers was certainly an opportunity to disrupt that model. For producers to sell wine to a retailer and have the wine sitting on the shelf for a period of time, hoping that someone would come in and buy it, or to sell it to a restaurant, meant that there's a lot of middlemen. Yep. There's a lot of stages in that process that slowed down the process, and also meant that wine wasn't getting direct to their customers, and for a winery for them to sell their wine directly to their database was a challenge, because it's, as a winemaker, you ideally you're great at making wine, you're probably not great at marketing wine or selling wine. So what we've done is gone, all right, you do what you do really well, we've got a really engaged community over here, why don't we just go straight from the winery, straight from the producer, direct to consumer. We'll cut out all the stages in between, and that means we'll be able to buy a lot of what you have to offer. We can do it at a healthy margin, which we can then pass on to our customers, and we'll do it in a way that honors the product. So we know what we're talking about when we communicate your wine, because we know you as a producer, we taste the wines, everybody who's involved in selling the wine, whether it be from a designing the creative to marketing to on the phones to our engineering team who's building the website, everybody has an opportunity to taste that wine and learn about where it comes from. So when we communicate it, we're doing it with integrity to the producer. And so we're going straight from producer to customer. And I think people value that. And of course, we're doing it online, which means that you can be on your phone at work, you can be at home on your laptop, and on the couch, and you can access what you need and what you want when you want, and get it delivered to your door. And that people want convenience.
Yeah. But it's also trust as well. They have to trust that what you're recommending, you believe in, and strongly that's coming through. So.
You can't. That's the thing that you can't buy. That's the thing that a model cannot replicate. And that takes time and trust. Trust takes time, and trust requires integrity with what you do and how you do it. And through over the last 6 years, our customers have come to see us as someone that they can trust. And the fact that we say we only sell wines that we love is true. And there's a constant reminder and realignment to that. Everyone involved in the process are being held accountable to that. Do we love this wine? Is it a great wine? And will we recommend it personally? Would you recommend it personally to your partner, to a friend? And if not, then we won't recommend it to our customers. And people, customers over time become, they trust that. And that takes time.
Interesting.
So Michael, you've already mentioned the engineering team and the buying team and the selling team. We know that identifying and attracting and certainly retaining the right talent is key to supporting successful innovation. What advice might you give to others trying to build their own culture in a rapidly growing environment?
I think it's really simple, but it's not easy. I think there are a lot of companies out there who are offering great opportunities, great incentives, great perks, great working environments. As an employee, it's like being a kid in a candy store, particularly as an engineer or developer. There's tech companies who are offering incredible incentives and workplace environments. So it's really exciting, and there's been a real shift from employees doing everything that they can to be attractive, now to employers having to go, all right, what's our value proposition to people that we want to attract, and companies are now investing a lot more time and effort and energy and resources into being attractive. I think that's kind of made it a very competitive environment for employers. What hasn't changed, however, is the fundamental needs of people in your company, and there are few companies who actually identify and meet those needs. Amongst others, we like to think of those needs that we address being belonging. People want to belong to something and be a part of something that's bigger than just the work that they do. So that means having a mission that enables people to contribute to something greater than their exchange of time for a paycheck. So belonging is really important. People want to be part of something and connected to something. Significance. People want to feel like they're valued and acknowledged and validated, not only for the work that they do, but for who they are. I think these are fundamental human needs. A sense of contribution. I think if we can, as employers, provide opportunities for people to be involved in social enterprise or charitable events, then people are looking for that sense of being able to contribute more, and we certainly we do that as much as we can. Growth. People need to feel like they're evolving and growing and learning in their role, and so to have a model of mentorship or leadership where people are guided through that process is really important. And I mentioned this, a number of times, but fun, creative environment where people are able to relax and enjoy themselves. I think if we can meet some of those basic needs, I think it's easy to attract great employers. You can throw money, at them. You can provide all sorts of wonderful, bells and whistles to, attract them. But people will stay. People won't stay because of the Friday drinks and ping pong tables. But what they will stay for is the people that they work with, who validate, value, acknowledge, support, encourage, care for them. And that's what we've seen here. There's people who have left and have said, it was really hard to leave. I've moved on for personal reasons or for whatever the case may be. But it was the people that I found it hardest to leave. And a company is a collection, of people. A company isn't a company without people in it. So that's the key, I think, is investing in people and those fundamental needs. If you can invest the time and care to do that, I think you'll keep good people.
Thanks, Michael. That's been really interesting today. Last question from me, if it's not giving away any competitive secrets. Where does Vino Mofo see itself in 5 years' time?
Oh, that's probably a question that is difficult for me to answer. I think if we asked Justin or Andre, founders, they'd have a very grand vision.
There wouldn't be a beer mofo or anything like that?
I wouldn't rule anything out. What we are doing currently is we've moved into two overseas markets towards the end of last year, New Zealand and Singapore.
Because you won an exporter award, I think. Am I right?
I'm not sure. To
I thought I saw a Momentum, BRW Momentum Award, which I think is an exporter.
Okay, yep. Overseas, overseas markets are where we're heading.
Right.
So Singapore's been really, really successful over the last few months. And so there's
oh, that's exciting, isn't it?
Other Southeast Asian markets and, of course, the United States as well. So in terms of, the five-year plan, certainly global markets are on the cards, but currently our focus is on let's get that right, because with a view to constant, rapid, fast growth, you've got to have your foundation strong as well. So it's a constant balance. I'd probably suggest too that 5 years is, in this industry, in a company that's only 6 years old, it's hard to say what 5 years might look like. But it's pretty exciting, and the way in which the online retail industry is evolving and changing, and the tech space is changing. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's really hard to predict, but it's really exciting. And what we will continue to do is just be ready to change, ready to adapt, and ready to move quickly.
Well, thank you for that. I'd love to come back in a couple of years and see where all that's gone, if we may. Really appreciate your time today. Rob, thank you for sitting in.
Thank you. Very interesting.
Thanks very much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today for the Raise Innovator Series. If you would like to know more about today's topic, please email us raise@raise.com.au.